Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, and welcome to Cannabis in Kansas. Boy, are we a bit rusty at this, I am telling you. We have been out of the loop for a while, but hopefully we will get the hang of it again. We're back. And with me is Kelly. Kelly, are you there? Kelly, I hope we can hear you. Okay, maybe we can't hear Kelly. Well, I don't know why we can't hear Kelly. Like I said, we're a bit rusty. It's been a while. Well, Kelly, maybe you can just try to call back and then we can try it again. Because I don't know, it's not letting me bring you up. Okay, so hopefully Kelly will call us right back. I know he's got some things he wants to talk to you about this week. There is a lot of things going on in the news this week, some important research coming out that was really important for advocates. And when I share it in different groups on Facebook, that's what I always put up, important info for advocates to share, because it's that kind of ammunition that we all need to be putting in our ammunition bank, so that when we go out and talk to lawmakers and others, that we have that kind of information available. And so some really important research came out this week that I definitely wanted to talk about. And then some legal news going on. It's been just kind of up and down when you're watching the national news, not sure what's going to take place on the national level. It seems like Congress is moving forward. You know, we had that last minute where they added it to the disaster budget, and we got extended into December to protect states' rights as far as medical cannabis goes. But that's just extended to December, not even a full year. And then we keep hearing crazy statements, like we heard from Sessions the other day in California. Then we heard statements from his number two this week. There's a real disconnect at the D.C. level. It seems like Congress and its members are getting it. We've seen more and more bills come forward trying to protect state rights, trying to deschedule. We see more and more of this happening at the Congress and Senate level, but then we're just getting these continued push from Sessions and from the DEA. Kelly, are you there?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, now we can hear Kelly. Yay!
Okay, good.
Yeah, I was just kind of talking about the news over this last week at the national level, the disconnect we're kind of seeing from the Ford movement, the progress based on Congress and Senate level versus, you know, Sessions just had that statement in California again a few days ago where he's coming out, fist blazing again, and that is number two. Made a statement this week. So there seems to be, that was in the news this last week. Again, just more of they're not on the same page for sure.
Right. And some of the other larger organizations that we've seen have also kind of come out in contrast to the session statements. And it has been good to see the industry and really the public health sector also kind of come back and say, look, the data is not supporting these claims that you're making, and he's not taking into account scientific fact or any facts for that matter. It's mainly just ideology driven.
And that points to some other news that came out. Probably pretty much everybody knows that the National American Legion organization called for rescheduling of cannabis to allow for medical research. But then they followed it up this week. That was another big piece of news, by calling on the VA to kind of get with the program. And I know this week, or maybe next week, I'd have to go back and check, but I know Dr. Sue Sicily, who is heading up the only FDA-approved medical cannabis PTSD study, will be speaking in St. Louis, Missouri. And part of what her frustration is not only been with the quality of medicine she's been able to receive via NIDA, but also the problem that she has had kind of being stonewalled by the local VAs up there that she assumed, you know, would be wanting to have partnership to get the message out to veterans that they're able to participate in the program. So seeing the American Legion step forward the way they have on the national level has been really exciting. So for them to tell, kind of address the VA and they kind of get with the program, that was really, that was some really big news.
Definitely. And, you know, the other organization, I mean, we've known for a long time that this is a cross organization, I mean, interagency sort of complexity to it. And just like treating or at least attempting to mitigate some of the opioid crisis, you know, that has happened, like it, that has to be a cross-organizational, interagency across multiple industries approach. And so we're now seeing organizations coming in to the picture that are combining their message with overall cannabis legalization and advocacy because they see that it's helping in opioid cases, it's helping in suicide, and especially for veterans, it's great to see other initiatives like Military Veterans Project and some of these other that they have their stake in seeing this happen at a larger level.
Yeah, absolutely. The Missouri Advocates have a really good program called Project 22. And then what would be nice is that if some of these larger veterans organizations would come on board and see the possibility here. I know we reach out to those who specially deal with traumatic brain injury and obviously PTSD, but the research is looks so wonderful for TBI. And we have organizations right here in Kansas that fight for veterans who have sustained brain injury. And we just, you know, I wish there could be, you know, better dialogue, that people would understand how beneficial this absolutely can be to not only veterans, but then we've seen the NFL, the NBA, and even the NCAA, they're taking this issue up as far as not only concussions and brain injury, but also chronic pain. There's been a huge uptick in sports, and I think that came out this last week as well. Joe Montana himself, former Kansas City Chief, has jumped into the industry and invested in some cannabis company in California. So, you know, we're seeing the movement in sports to have this discussion, and I would really like to see more veterans agencies move forward to have this discussion about our wounded warriors, because for chronic pain, for PTSD, for TBI, you know, for many reasons, you know, that veterans deserve access.
Definitely. And I would also going to mention, you know, we've been following other states and what has been included and not included in certain legislation, and we've realized that in some of these states, the provisions that we have included within the Kansas Safe Access Act is really going to be proactively addressing some potential issues that employers are dealing with in other states, and that includes things like cannabis in the workplace and protections for patients, and you know, that obviously have a legitimate card or a relationship with their medical provider who has recommended medical cannabis for them. And so, you know, it is interesting to watch news and other things that are happening in other states, and that we had the foresight to include things like that and have learned and are continuing to learn as we have to from other states and include that in our policy.
Absolutely. And if anybody knows that about cannabis law, it's never a one and done. It's an ever-evolving industry. It's ever-evolving science. And as more research is funded, more information comes out, policy needs to be adjusted per that science. And so cannabis policy is never a one and done. It has to be agile. And one thing that government is not good at doing, perhaps, is being agile as far as policy response, especially to public health crises or public health needs. And that's a shame because coming from the corporate world again, agility is something that you take very seriously, responding to customer need, to market trends. Agility is something that must, that's at the forefront, responsiveness. And government doesn't always do that so well. And so that's something else we really have to educate lawmakers about, that this is not a one and done. We're not looking at the Kansas Safe Access Act as this is going to be your end all be all and you're never going to have to talk about this topic again. That's not how it works. As science evolves, public policy has to evolve alongside it. And some states have been very good about that. They caught some of their, mistakes or places where they really didn't have the regulation and policy in place, and then they were able to go in and address those things. So some states have been rather agile. They're updating their laws and adding new things every session. They're right on it. So hopefully Kansas will get that idea, that it's never one and done cannabis policy. So that's part of what we will have to definitely continue to educate Kansas lawmakers about. I wanted to talk about, there's an article that's on our Bleeding Kansas Facebook page right now at this moment, and it came from Leafly, and it was about some new research study. And one of the things, Kelly, that you and I are very passionate about is talking about the opioid crisis and that medical cannabis has a science and evidence-based role in curbing this epidemic, and the reason, that it's not being given a table at the discussion, is unscientific, and it's also unacceptable because we absolutely know that it is part of a harm reduction strategy. And so there's a good study. There's an article about it on the Bleeding Kansas Facebook page right now from Leafly, and within the article itself, you can click on it. It gives you the word is hyperlinked for study. You can click on it and actually read the study. And I encourage everyone to share that with your lawmaker, share that with your doctor, share it with just people in your life. Just share that article, on your Facebook timeline and in your social media. And the study is really good. It's called Rationale for Cannabis-Based Interventions and the Opioid Overdose Crisis. And we did our own document, which you are free to check out on our website anytime, at bksadvocates.org. What we did is we spent a lengthy amount of time compiling research just like this study. And it is literally page after page of study after study after study. And what it shows is its effectiveness for treating pain, which means that it affects the crisis on the front end when you give people safer pain management choices. And those are, and then the studies show that patients reduce their opioid use, some completely stop opioids completely. All of that information is there, so how it curbs the epidemic on the front end. And then also it includes research about how cannabis plays an important role on the back end as an exit drug strategy as part of medically supported addiction treatment, and which is being utilized in several states on the East Coast, and several have even added it to their approved patient list, if you will, using it for opioid addiction. So, but just trying to raise this issue in Kansas has been interesting, to say the least. We have some people who are pretty well-educated within the movement, people who are just common citizens who do research and stay up on their own. But, we have a few Kansas lawmakers who stay informed. But really, it is important and vital that when we share these kind of studies and research that really, I'm sure you agree, Kelly, that people go and grab this research, take 5 minutes, send an email.
Yep. get all this stuff to the lawmakers, because they're the ones that are going to be making decisions, for sure.
Right, and they're not going to see this research if we don't get it to them, and if they're getting it from me all the time, Kelly, or the other board members. I mean, they kind of just are going to start seeing our name in the email list, and maybe some aren't even going to open those emails. So that's why it's so important that other people also be sending this research, right?
Oh yeah, it's power in numbers. I mean, that's how we influence.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. Well, there was some interesting stuff too that Israel came out this last week and has now announced that their agricultural ministry is going to recognize medical cannabis as an agricultural branch. And that is amazing. And it's amazing. And so in talking, because I know you deal with a lot of agricultural people, and, you know, wow, could we look forward to a day when when Kansas does the same thing, that, you know, hemp and medical cannabis are just agricultural crops. One just happens, you know, a pharmaceutical crop. So, I mean, that would be fantastic. And it's great to see these things happening in other parts of the world. And some people are like, well, why does that matter? Because every little change like that, and again, when you let lawmakers know about this kind of thing, it just broadens their perspective. If they see the rest of the world is marching forward and taking new ground, taking new territory, that they have put the health of patients and the science before the stigma, which is what Israel's done, and which is why now we have more U.S. researchers studying cannabis in Israel than we do here because of the blockade on a federal level, thanks to the DEA. It's really good for lawmakers to see that the rest of the world is going forward. The rest of the states are going forward. We now have 159 million Americans who have safe and legal access to medical cannabis. So use that number. Tell your lawmakers, 159 million other people do. Why don't I? That's the question. Why doesn't Kansas? What are your reasons? You know, list your reasons, because they will not be science-based. So I just thought that was really good news for all of us, and hopefully it has an influence on American policy. We'll see. We'll see, but I thought that was really good news. And then we had another New Mexico study come out this week, again proving that medicinal cannabis leads to a drop in use of opioids, and so that was some really good research that we got out of New Mexico. That's, I believe, going to be on the, either already on the Facebook page or going to be on the Facebook page pretty soon. And that was a study by the University of New Mexico. And, again, that's the kind of research, just when we pop those things up there, just go copy that link and pop it in an email and send it out, you know. We had some research that come out from Denver, people wanting to find out why people were using cannabis, and so they did a consumer research study around it, and I think they were surprised by their own results. I don't know if you saw this one, Kelly, but they were expecting to find out that people were using it for, you know, as they thought, right? All these people are just, what one of the objections we always hear, these people just want to party. They're using it as an excuse, and here was their opportunity to say so. But what they found out is that chronic pain and lack of sleep tied for first and why people were using cannabis. So it was pain and insomnia.
And I will say that, you know, the research that I found here a little while ago, and I want to just point something out here real quick, that I picked up a 2015 Journal of Medical Regulation, and this came out from the Federation of State Medical Boards. And the title of it was "The Legalization of Marijuana in Colorado, a Prescription for Trouble?" And within it, one of the statements that they made was that they had found a similar finding. And so they already kind of proved back then that chronic pain was going to be a common condition that people were going to use cannabis for. And so it's interesting that the study, you know, that just came out is consistent with it. But one of the things that they talked about, and I am quoting this, that they say that severe pain is a highly subjective condition, which in medical terms, that kind of language is kind of contradictory to do no harm. I mean, you know, all the ethical health regulations that we know that doctors and health providers adhere to. So just saying that in itself, that the chronic pain is a subjective condition, I think that kind of shows a little bias. And I'm willing to share the other information from this study.
Okay. So they can message the Facebook page, Bleeding Kansas Advocate, on Facebook, or you can send us an email, you can send a message through the Facebook, and we can get you that information, or info@bleedingks.org is the email. Yeah, I, as someone who lives with chronic pain, and I believe you do as well, that's kind of offensive. What's subjective for me is their pain scale, which I don't find relates to chronic pain patients at all. And I said this to my neurosurgeon. Some people know I just had a disc replaced in my neck not that long ago, but I find the pain scale to be, you know, really not too relevant to chronic pain patients, because I'm like, are you asking me about the new uptick in pain I'm having, or the pain level that I live at every day, which I manage with? And, you know, it's very difficult. I feel like chronic pain patients have their own kind of built-in pain scale. And that's what I told him, I do. I know this is where I function at. This is what I do. It goes up a notch. I know I better pay attention. I have to move differently. I have to watch my activities. I hit another level. I know I need to not do anything and stop, because we don't want to get to the next level, because that's Lisa on the floor screaming. So I think the problem comes to me is that, you know, this whole crisis developed because no one was talking to pain patients about our pain. They didn't want to hear from us. And now there's a crisis. So many of us have become addicted and are dying. Families are being destroyed. And, Kelly, they're still not talking to us. And that includes the cannabis research. Pain patients are making it very clear what works for them, that they want safer choices, and yet again, I don't see the medical community listening to the patients. I don't know if you want to call that arrogance of, you know, I've got the degrees on the wall and I don't need to listen to you. I don't know what the blockage is there, but I still and yet do not see pain patients being included in the discussion or their voice being respected. And I have to say, that's one thing I love about the medical cannabis science community, the doctors, the hospitals, the researchers, the scientists who are working in this field. They do respect patient voice. They are listening to patients. And I think that, you know, it wasn't that long ago, you remember they did that survey of patients who were going to dispensaries and asking why did they enjoy the dispensary experience so much. And whatever, again, answer they were expecting to hear, they were surprised. The answer they got was that they were listened to. People took time to really show compassion and care about what they were going through and spent time with them. They listened. And through this whole crisis, what I'm seeing again is all these policymakers, politicians, they're still not paying attention. And we've run into that because now Kansas has this huge grant to study the opioid crisis. And we have reached out numerous times to the people who are managing those grant funds, doing the research in Kansas. And, you know, they are still blocking to see our research. It doesn't mean we'll shut up. Doesn't mean we'll go away. Doesn't mean we'll stop sending it to them. We will and do. We are that thorn. But it's very frustrating. For me as a patient, it's very frustrating. And I don't know, Kelly, I imagine that all of our patients feel that way.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. I mean, it's you know, it's the whole approach of what is going to hit home the most. With a lot of people, data isn't going to do it. You have to tug at the heartstrings. You actually have to make an impact and connect it to individual lives and how it's going to impact their own life, it's going to impact their own family. And you know, I know we don't have too much time here, but I will just mention that I've got some work that's coming out here shortly, hopefully within the next few weeks and into the couple months. But I've been doing some research and digging up some information regarding research that was done in Kansas prior to the 80s and 90s. So I'm finding that there has been research conducted in Kansas about cannabis and hemp and grouping them together. And some of those have inconsistencies. They are not following certain research integrity guidelines. They even have some financial biases and conflict of interest that I think are going to be kind of shocking to folks once they come out. And so I just want to kind of put that bug in people's ear that there has been research. People have known about specific cannabinoids within the plant. They've known that here in Kansas since the 70s. And to say that pharmaceutical companies and the chemical industry had no part in any of that is factually and historically incorrect. So I look forward to kind of getting this information out there, discussing it with people and the implications that it has had on the suppression of information relating to cannabis in Kansas.
Wow! Applause for Kelly. That is awesome. I can't wait to hear it. I'm rubbing my hands together like, yes, bring it on. I'm excited. That's awesome, Kelly. High five through the air. Bam. I'm excited to see that. That's awesome. So that is something good to look forward to coming up to get that information from Kelly. We also have a huge surprise for you, and Kelly and I can't tell you a thing about it right now, but we've been working toward this goal for 3 years, and it culminates for us on Sunday, and then the project will go forward after that. But it's a huge, we hope, we're praying, a huge turning point for us, and we're very excited, and we'll be able to tell you about that next Friday because we're back. Kelly and I are back. We'll be here to bother you every Friday. every Friday from 12 to 12:30 now, we'll be here. And so next week, we look forward to telling you about the big news we have. Also, we want to tell you that, as always, we want to talk to you. We love our monthly donors. If you can sign up for $5 a month, please do so, bksadvocates.org. We cannot do it without the funding. Just one printing run can cost us as much as $400, and that can be for as little as 10 documents. But for the hearings, we have to have 30 copies of each document. And with research that's multiple pages long, that gets very costly. So we appreciate your support. Also, we are going to have new T-shirts coming out soon, so keep an eye on that. Those will be available soon. We've had a few faithful members look over the initial design, and response has been a lot of excitement. So we hope that you will like that as well. So we look forward to Kelly's information come forward. That's going to rock some things. And can't wait to next week to tell you about the surprise that we're working on this Sunday. And so we just thank you for joining us, coming back to us after we've been off the air for a while. But we are back in black, and we'll be back every Friday, 12 to 12:30. And Kelly, you want to say what we say every time?
End the stigma.
That's right. Stop the stigma. Thank you so much for joining us, and we look forward to being with you again next week.